the establishments they're getting educated in are too white at the moment, and I'm concerned. So I've taken away all their Captain America toys and replaced it with Black Panther toys.
Man, good man.
And moving forward, I'm just going to take a harder line. So we've got rid of all of their books that are non-black, but Eve's really good at finding black authors, even on like conventional stuff like Jack and the Beanstalk. We've got one now where Jack's still called Jack, but he's black and his mum's black, but she's wearing like Ghanaian kente and she's telling him to go to the market and stuff. So black academic hoodie, I'll be all over that for
Yeah,
them, right?
no,
Similar
we're
one.
going to do another run of ladies line as well. So on the next run, I'll let you
Is
know.
there going to be an FFP hoodie and like a we get free ones of those?
I mean, I would just take a black academic one, G. I'm not even fussy. Free clothes is free clothes, you know what I mean? But we know what George's like. I mean, if snacks are anything to go by,
Allow me, man. Allow me.
he's just the guy that's, you know, he'll take what he can get.
Have you not
We're
thought that
easily
maybe?
replaceable, G. Put it like that.
Hang on, have you not thought there's no snacks because I'm paying for the hoodies?
Pay for the hoodies that
Listen, I respect your hustle, so I'm gonna die. You know, if we ever get into a studio again and there aren't any snacks, given how much criticism we've given you, I'd think you're not really good at reading the room.
Or you
But
don't give, or you just don't give a fuck about the room
yeah, it's
anymore.
probably more the latter. The problem is, Jordan, if you never gave snacks, I'd have been all right. But you can't like start up there and then.
I went big as well, didn't I? At the start, I went proper big.
Mate, we weren't even just talking like conventional snacks. They were in the gourmet space. You know what I mean? Like roast chicken and thyme and shit.
One
Marks
time
and Spencer's
he
finest.
brought out bun and cheese one time. I thought, fucking
True.
Who's Ollie talking to?
Probably misses. That feels like a really good start time to start as Ollie returns to his desk. Before I start, good evening, Ollie, and we are recording.
Hi.
Good evening, you're right.
What's happening?
No, no, we're here, man. We're here. We're good. We are good. We are good, man. This is the FFP Football Fans Podcast. Me, Jordan, Jarrett, Brian with the boys, Ollie, Marvin, and G. We wanted to talk, guys, about managers. And I think it's off the back of, well, I'm assuming it was off the back of the little spat between Ollie and Josie on the weekend. But I want to kind of extrapolate it to a few more managers a bit later on. But first of all, let's have some fun with Jose Mourinho again. I think we do a pod on Jose like one in five now, sort of thing. But whatever. The listeners love it, so let's go into it. You guys have all got experience of Jose, so
We've
I want
done
to
this before and you categorized me badly last time, so be careful. Because I don't
See
know, I can't
again,
remember what you
the
said.
X.
I don't know if I was like the ex-girlfriend that missed him, and I didn't at all. I was like the girlfriend that was happy to be rid of him. He was dragging me down and my credit score. He had no job. He was living on my couch even when we broke up. I was happy to see the back of him.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Ollie, let me start with you because you lost the game, and I'm interested in something you said a few weeks ago about the fact that there's too much emphasis on the roles of managers and needs to be more responsibility on the players. And I take the point, you know, ultimately a manager can't be responsible for a guy missing a one-on-one or a goalkeeper getting beat at his near post or whatever. But I kind of slightly disagree. So I think that the best managers, of which Jose is meant to be one of them, find a way to make, albeit possibly average players, play out of themselves and above themselves. So whilst I don't think the Tottenham squad is the best squad around, I think Jose should be getting more out of them than he's getting. Do you stand by the point that managers' influence on teams are massively overinflated?
I still feel that the game's all about players, really. Someone like Roy Keane would say exactly the same. There's a lot made of Ferguson and what he did at Man United, but Ferguson always had the outlay and the financial power to get the best players. And people like Roy Keane, you know, they were part of that. And if you went to Roy Keane and told him that Man United's success was all about Fergie and not about people like him and Cantona and Paul Ince when he was there, when he was in his pomp, you know, he would dispute that hotly with you. So I don't think it is just about managers. My issue with Mourinho now is that I actually think Mourinho looks like a man who's jacked it in, really.
He's trying.
He doesn't look like he's kind of... His post-match interviews now are just a joke. He doesn't really even give you any sort of overview of what's happened. It's just like, yeah, the boys tried their best, but what can we do? Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's... There's no heart in it at all. And G would probably know this better than anyone here because he's had, you know, Mourinho as boss for longer than any of us, but he's a sulker, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's a sulker. Things aren't going his way, then he's basically going to pack up his toys and say, well, I'm not playing anymore. And I get the impression now that you've got a standoff between him and the players. There's been some sort of conversation, I reckon, probably an argument, where the players have said, we don't like how you're digging us out. So now he's coming out with a lot of the stuff post-match about, I can't say anything because you guys distort my words, or I'm trying to give you an analysis and you take it the wrong way. And so now we've got into this stage where he's not giving any sort of analysis. He just basically says, yeah, you know, well, we're up against a better team on Sunday and, you know, we tried our best, but our best wasn't good enough. So, yes, I take on board what you're saying, though, George, that the manager has an impact and you would have expected at the very bare least, the very least, that Mourinho would have been able to organise this team. But how can I put this, George? I just feel with Mourinho that there's so much... You never know with him what's going on. You don't know what games he's playing behind the scenes. So, in effect, what's going on with the defence at the moment, it goes against all evidence and all knowledge that he keeps playing one of our worst defenders at centre-half. Why is he doing that? He keeps playing Sanchez week after week. No matter how many mistakes this guy makes, how many goals he costs us, he keeps playing him. And then when he finally takes him out of the firing line, he doesn't bring in Alderweireld. He brings in Dyer. And you just think, this is a madness. This is a complete and utter madness. And now, he may well have fell out with Alderweireld. But seriously, the answer to any of his questions can't be Dyer and it can't be Sanchez. I don't know what he's doing there. I don't really understand it. And all of these people who keep going on, all these pundits who are going on about how great Cavani was the other day and, you know, how his movement was amazing. He was playing Spurs. You know, he's playing against a defence who are, they're like statues. You watch that goal that was disallowed, right? What was the great movement that he did? You mean he ran into a bit of space when Dyer was just watching the ball? And if you watch the second goal where Mason Greenwood runs into space on the right, there's about three players to Mason Greenwood's right, three players, and they're all watching the ball on the touchline. Not one of them is watching Mason Greenwood's run into space so that the guy on the touchline could pass the ball to him. Three players are watching him. Watching the ball, sorry. So I always think that with players and, you know, we can get blinded by the fact that we think, oh yeah, they're all trying their best. They're all trying their best. I think players at that level, at the very highest level, know how to play to an extent where they can play to maybe 80% of their ability, but make it look like they're playing like they're trying, yeah? I just think there's a lot of those players now who are playing and they're just about doing enough to make it look like they're doing their best.
It's funny you mentioned that because I was watching a podcast yesterday and Craig Mitch was on it. He's a Spurs fan. He's a YouTuber. And he was making the point about Gareth Bale and how Gareth Bale does his thing where he pretends to run. He does this thing where he kind of he shuttles a little bit and he pretends to run. He never really opens his legs up, but he does enough to make you think that I didn't quite get there. Yeah. And I wonder if that's indicative of the whole Spurs.
I think so. I think there's a standoff there. I think there's too many players. He's lost too many players now, Mourinho, and there's only one way out of it. Either he goes or we get to the summer And Levy backs him madly and says, yeah, okay, I'll get rid of anyone who's a problem to you. And we, because that's an easier option for me than to pay you off. So I'm going to give you carte blanche to get rid of who you want to get rid of and bring in the players. Because basically, to my mind, I had a lot of Spurs fans that are going on about, oh yeah, but Mourinho should be doing better. He's on 15 million a year and all the rest of it. Levy, no one put a gun to Levy's head to pay this man 15 million a year. It was Levy's decision to pay him against all available evidence that this guy might be, you know, might be finished. So all the evidence was there and Levy went against it because he, you know, because that's Levy. But the point is that, you know, he's taken that thing. If he sacks him now, that is an admission of a huge, huge, huge mistake.
Marvin, I've not watched Man United for a while because you're just, even when you win, I just think you're so awful to watch. But I watched this game and I thought Man United were really, really good. I thought it wasn't a counter-attacking performance, apart from the first 15 minutes where I think Spurs were kind of, they were jabbing. I think once you conceded, I think Man United from then were really, really good, dominated.
Remember the opposition though, Jordan.
No, true, true.
Remember the opposition and remember that game was a carbon copy of what we saw last week. Yeah. So Newcastle were 2-1 down at half time. Spurs should have come out in the second half. Chelsea have lost their game. You know, teams have lost, dropped points that week. Spurs could have gone into the top four. Yeah. So, you know, essentially they should have come out and finished off Newcastle. What did we see? They came out against a team who have been shocking all season. And Newcastle looked like the team up in the top, you know, in the top part of the league, and Spurs look like the team down in the bottom part.
Well, what I want to ask Marvin is, Solskjaer basically done him. It was the first time actually he was openly praising Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and granted, Tottenham were awful. But A, where does this end for Jose? Do you see only two options as Ole paints out there? And to your manager, are you starting to kind of begrudgingly give him a bit of credit as he seems to be improving? And again, I know it was Spurs, but he seems to be improving as a manager. And if he can replicate that performance on the weekend against better opposition, he'll be vindicated as to why the Man United board stuck with him.
I mean, there's so much, George. I don't know where you want me to start.
Sorry, right? So first of all...
No, hold on a minute. I'll tell you where I'm going to start, right? First of all, you really underplayed it. Like, oh, Ole, you know, you lost to Man United. But anyway, let's talk about management. Like, let's just be clear, right? Ole's right. Spurs were terrible. And they made us look good, right? We, second half in particular, we packed them out, right? That being said, Jude, I think it's really rich coming from you talking about the standard of football, right? I can't believe what I was hearing. Like, it's, I can criticize my team, but when your team is as shit as Arsenal, just watch how you talk about
it. But is it an either or, Marvin?
It's not about either or. It's about the pot, the colour of the pot, and the kettle. No, it's as simple as that, George. Right. So I just want to call that out. And let me be clear: we've had good games, right? That ain't just what you saw against Spurs, right?
And we three other games this year United have played where you've dominated the ball.
Leeds, we absolutely annihilated. And look, George, let's be clear. I think one of the pieces of the jigsaw that you're bringing to my door is, am I going to give Ole credit? The answer is no. it's very clear, mainly for all of the things that Ole just said, right? If he does, and like, look, he's beat City as well, right? But let's not be under any illusion, right? If a team plays with low block, sits behind the ball, has some decent pace, they will do us, right? We're still not great at breaking down teams, right? The reason why we beat City is because City think, and they're quite right, they are better than us. So they just tried to just go all out attack and we picked them off on the counter. And to Ollie's point about Spurs, it was scintillating football in the second half at some point, mainly from Pogba in particular. But Spurs were barely running, particularly at the back. I mean, Fred was playing one-touch football for Cavani's goal around their D. I mean, I've dined out on that, George. GG will tell you. I've told people that we're looking at the next, you know, Michael Essien here, right? Like, I've gone all out on it, right? So there's all those caveats, right? That being said, I'm not going to give Ole the credit, right? Because I've been bantering Ole on it, but I didn't like the way he went at Son. I think the problem that he did with the Son thing is, A, he gave Jose an out to change the narrative. B, I don't think he gave the players enough praise for what they achieved. But I think more importantly, I think United are in this weird place where everybody's calling us the next best thing other than City just due to everyone else's shitness, right? Like, I mean, we lost to Sheffield United. We had a tough game against West Brom.
We beat you.
Yeah. So let's not gloss over the shitness, right? There's a lot of shitness here. It's just to my very point, Ollie's team are shitter. Really simple, right? And you know, I like people are talking to me about the Europa, and I was on your pod last time, and I said, you know, take it or leave it. It's, you know, and my biggest issue is, Jude, we're nowhere near City. We'll get Champions League football, but what does that really mean? If we go out in the group stages and back into the Europa again, then what is the point, Jude? I'm just not loving this cyclical nature of anything, right? So, and even if we get through the group stage and get knocked out, it's still not enough for me. I still don't feel competitive in any shape or form. And until I do, and until I can banter you guys from a position of, I've got a Premier League trophy over my shoulder in the last 10 years, I'm just not there, right? Plus, I think the last bit is, and I've said it a million times, and I think Ollie grilled me on it before, he's still relying on moments, right? The second half of the Spurs game was probably the best team element, but usually it's just someone popping up with a goal and from there he rides it. He's terrible with subs. He very rarely changes things. There doesn't look like there's a plan B. We're at 70, 80 minutes in some games. He hasn't made a move. There's lots of issues that I have. The only thing I'd say, I think Ollie was being harsh on Cavani. I think the movement was solid. He stayed on side. The space was there because he made the space, right? And I think Cavani's movement was pretty good in that game. That being said, I agree with Ollie again. He's 90% sure he's pretty racist. So when he leaves, I won't be sad to see the back of him. But I know that's a long-winded question. Answer your question. But am I team Ollie? Absolutely not. Are Spurs shit? Yes. Are United really good? No. The other teams are just shitter. And when will I feel better? When we're really contesting for the Premier League.
Just going back to your boy Jose, even though he's got all the trophies in the bank, he's won Champions League, Premier League titles in other countries, is to what Ollie was saying earlier on about him just jacking it in, I think there's something in that. Is there a concern that when his career finishes and the way it's looking like it's going to finish, he may not go down as one of the great managers of all time because of the last 5 years of his managerial career? It was so bad that will seriously prevent him from being in that Arrigo Sacchi, Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger, Trapattoni kind of bracket.
He's definitely impacting his legacy. I would agree with you on that. I would say, you know, probably before he went back to United, and I want to make this clear, this is not my view. I'm just saying what the argument that he could make.
Uh-oh, caveat.
yeah. So he might have been able to make the argument of top three based on his Champions League, based on the leagues that he's won everywhere else.
One of the top three managers of all time.
Yeah, he could have made the argument. Not saying it would have been right, but he could have made the argument. But it's just slipping and slipping further away. And it's more kind of now looking like what people used to say about him at first, which was like, he's just literally a checkbook manager who got lucky at Porto and then did well at Chelsea because he had all the resources. Mm. That's kind of how it's coming across now. Mm.
Can I, sorry to interrupt you there, but Jules, yeah. Can I be clear? How highly are you rating Wenger here?
I put that in there because I knew it took you 2 minutes to get there, Marvin, but You've bitten. Like, obviously, Wenger's not in the same group as Alex Ferguson.
I've got a bite, Jules, because Jose is tanking at Spurs, and he could tank for another 5 years. Wenger's got like a Champions League final at best. Like, come on, George.
All right, Marvin. It was bait, and you took it late, but you took it. Go on, G.
Oh, man.
To be fair to Marv, he was screwing up his face straight away.
I saw it.
I was just being polite to G.
But no, he definitely, I think he's, to a certain extent, he's tarnished his legacy already. I think one thing that you'd say about the truly great managers is that they could manage over different eras of different types of players. And I think that's what Ferguson now will clearly have in the bank over him, because he managed in the late 80s, the 90s, and not just like the time, but the type of players and the type of environment that he was working in. It's clear that Jose is showing time and time again he can only work with ready-made, hard-nailed players who have already are instilled with the right mentality already, and hasn't really been able to show an ability to develop it. Now, the argument was at Chelsea, fair enough, when he first came, you know, Lampard and Terry, those type of guys, they hadn't won anything. So you could argue that they didn't have the mentality. But maybe they just did, and they just needed the infrastructure. Maybe someone else could have also brought them to that level as well. So it's getting to the point where he's looking more and more like an extremely lucky manager or a generational manager, like for that era, more than an all-time great. So yes, he is impacting his legacy at the moment. But you know what he'll probably do is try and win a Carling Cup for Spurs, run off and say, you know, this is one of the biggest achievements of all time, winning a Carling Cup for this team who hasn't won a trophy in 20 odd years, and then try to build up his legacy that way.
Marvin, I think that Jose Mourinho will look at it and think to himself, I mean, he said it in previous press conferences, I've won trophies, I've been places, and even when I've been poor, I've won trophies. This Spurs team, they ain't won nothing. So do you do the maths here? I'm not the problem, clearly. Does he have a semblance
of... The thing is, I've heard that from him a bit, and it's so old hat. I think that, you know, to quote my wife, it's like, what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? How long can you dine out and stuff and be shit since then? Do you know what I mean? Like, I actually think, the more I think about it, it all went wrong at United. And my issue with how it's going wrong at Spurs is, particularly at the beginning of the season when Ollie was boasting about goal difference top, right, is the fact that the players are there, Jude. And to your point, they've been playing within themselves since Christmas, right? It's almost like they've just not... They're just like, his tactics have been
We're doing a pod here, Ollie. Can you, like, put yourself on mute?
He's even got a headset on.
I know, because he can't even hear us.
All right, okay.
Let's just wait for Ollie to...
Ollie Spurs are shit, man.
So I remember last time I came, it was kind of Lukish.
Yeah, this is the guy... Do you think this is the guy that brought carrots to his house, Joe? No,
it might be still, you know.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can, but you've been lagging the whole pod pretty much.
It's because of the kids are here with their bloody iPads. They were out for the majority of the day, but they're on their iPads. And usually when we do the pod,
it's later.
They're asleep. So apologies. Can you hear me okay now?
We can. Yeah, it's workable. Go on, pick up from where you were. Do you remember what you were saying?
No, I mean, I think... Ollie's plumbers just totally knocked me off my game. What were we talking about? Oh, of living off the past, right? Yeah, like, what have you done for me lately, right? And I think the problem that Jose has is that I think Spurs could be in a much better position if it wasn't for him. I really think, to Ollie's point where he was talking about players versus managers, I think Jose's tried to shut up shop too much, too soon, and Spurs are probably 10, 15 points worse off because of the management. And I think the beef that Ollie's talking about, right, the likes of, you know, why is Toby sitting on the bench? Dele Alli, I'm sure Ollie would be all for anyway. But I generally think part of that beef is because the players don't like the way the manager's instructed them to play. So all of that, I'm not for, you know, I've won leagues and stuff, right? You're the Spurs manager. You've been brought in to bring in trophies and you're doing a bad job. Really simple. Right. I don't care.
So to that, Ollie, I agree. I think he was solely... You don't sack Pochettino and then bring in Mourinho unless the remit becomes cross the line. Just lift the trophy. We don't want to be near him anymore. If he does that in 2 weeks' time, even despite stinking the place out for the last few months, again, he will say, look, this is the contract. It says, win a trophy. I've won you a trophy. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really... The League Cup isn't... We've been here before. And that's no big deal. If he wins the League Cup, I mean, Ramos won us the League Cup. And then what happened after that?
Don't you buy the whole League Cup is the springboard to more trophies and get feeling?
We've been here before. Ramos won us the League Cup and then he couldn't win a game once the new season started. In fact, after the League Cup, they continued on for that season. They had a terrible run to the end of the season. Then they started the new season. And what was it Redknapp always used to say when he came in? They had 2 points from 10 games. That's what he always used to say, didn't it? 2 points from 8 games. And it's like, that was what he always said. So, you know, that's as far as that whole thing with, oh yeah, you win the League Cup and then it will lead to other trophies. Well, it didn't for us. It led to a load of defeats and the manager getting sacked 8 games into the new season and Harry Redknapp coming in. So I don't buy that. It won't wash if they win the League Cup. I agree with what Marvin was saying, really. I think there are players, and I can imagine Toby being one of those players who would say to the manager, listen, why are we playing like this?
Something's happened. When he was at United, he wanted Toby out of Europe.
Yeah, that's right. Him.
And then when he got to Spurs, there was a whole thing about Toby maybe leaving for free. And then eventually he let Vertonghen go and he signed his contract. So it's like, okay, maybe this is the guy that he wants to keep at the club. So as you say, to go from that to now picking Sanchez and Rondon ahead of him against Man United, I was like, Toby Adebayor was on decline, clearly.
He didn't pick Sanchez, did he? Have I missed that? I thought it was Dier.
No. I think George's saying he's been picking them regularly as a player.
You know what? You said something about whether he goes or you guys back him, right? I don't think there's any chance of backing him, you know, mainly because, don't forget, and I've heard pundits say it, and I know you don't like most of the pundits, but a lot of them have said, which I agree with, because I know, unfortunately for me, I know a lot of Spurs fans, right? And I think if that new stadium is full, the caliber of football, they would be baying for blood, right? I just don't know if Levy can, like, Levy's smart enough to know that fans aren't happy. So to back him with money and the exodus of players that maybe some of the fans would want to keep, like Toby, I just can't see it. Like, he might just run. It might be like they bring in the odd signing here and there in the summer, but I can't see Levy really going all out and backing him, especially when he knows that the fans are just so pissed.
I hear that.
And a lot of it hinges on Kane, right, as well. Jordan's consistently prodigy of whether he's going to be at the club next season and all that jazz. And I know there's a lot of narrative before the game. And I think that was some sort of PR machine somewhere. It might've even been us that did it, right? Just to like rock the boat a little bit. Like Kane wants out. The timing was just a bit suspicious to me, right? So I don't know if I believe it all, but whether it's true or not, we've talked about it for some length. Like, he's not getting any older. He's not getting any younger. He's still putting up numbers. Levy's got him locked down for a contract. I think the whole world wants to see what this summer brings, whether someone's going to go big on him, whether he actually does want to leave. Like, that's going to be that's going to set the trend for Spurs, because if they do sell him for what, 150 million, right? What's going to happen is Levy's probably going to spend 150 million on like 3 or 4 players, and they'll be Jose's players. But if he stays, I don't know if Jose gets the investment at all. So I think a lot of what happens hinges upon him, right?
So let me ask you, Ollie, would you prefer next year to get 150 for Kane, but Jose goes, or you keep them both?
Love it, George. Those journalism questions have been paying off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, really. The thing is, I feel that the, you know, Spurs are at a serious crossroads now where Levy's done his whole infrastructure bit. He's got the stadium, he's got the training grounds. You know, these things don't win you trophies, though, obviously. But there's only two ways he can go. He either sells up, he finds some major investment from somewhere who will spend the money, or they get someone in who knows what, who knows the market and knows how to play the market and to get good players in, a proper director of football type. The guy that they were talking about, you know, not so long ago when Jose first came in, Campos or whatever. I don't think he's only no longer at Lille. That sort of guy comes in who knows the market. But, you know, in terms of, those are the two options, I think. But in terms of your question, I mean, to be honest, I just think with Kane, I can't see any reason why he stays. But the problem, you know, why he'd want to stay, given what's going on. But the problem you've got there is that he signed himself up for this long contract. So
yeah, he's done himself there.
Well, you know, you say he's done himself, but he obviously believed where they were going and he wanted to believe. I don't know whether he's got some sort of clause in that or, you know, whether he can get out of that if the right offer comes in. But I feel for him because he can't be wasting his time playing for Spurs while, you know, they're kind of padding around like they are in mid-table. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, I don't think there's any Spurs fans who will kind of, who will have any problem with him leaving to try and win himself a few trophies before his time's up. So, yeah, I would say, listen, to Marvin's point, yes, everything that you're saying, Marv, I totally agree with. It doesn't make any sense. The only problem is that by sacking him, that is a massive, as I say, it's a huge admission of failure on Levy's part, because he's basically, to a point, Jose, you must think you know something about this guy that everyone else doesn't. Yeah? Mm. Off the back of what happened at Chelsea with the club doctor, the fans turned against him. Even, you know, the football was terrible at the end. The players didn't want to play for him. Then at Man United, the same thing happens. You know, falls out with Woodward. He's having arguments with the media.
We did the pod. This is all there.
We did the pod
straight after, well, I think it's a few days after the announcement was made that he was coming in. And I remember saying early, being defiant, that it wasn't going to work out. One of my main reasons was, and I said this on the pod, you're relying on one of two things happening for this to work. Either Mourinho changing or Levy changing. And none of them are going to change. They're not going to change. It was never going to work for me. Just final
that's
one on...
That's what happens with Levy, though. Like, he thinks he sometimes thinks he's one step ahead of the game when he's not.
Exactly.
You know, he did the same thing with AVB as well. Exactly. He thought, oh, Chelsea will just overlook someone here. Blah, 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 you know, get him in. And it fucked up.
Gee, you're relying on either Levy to say, all right, I'll give you 200 mil to spend. Or, which is never going to happen, or Jose's going to tweak the way he manages.
But George, sorry to interrupt there, G, but what's the point then? What is the point?
If
G is saying is right, and, you know, this guy needs a certain setup to succeed, yeah, you need hardened players, you need experienced players, you need players that you're going to have to spend a bit of money on. If you've done your homework on this guy and you've seen where he's had success, you have to recreate those conditions for him to have more success. So you're looking at him, you've seen what's happened at the other clubs he's been at, the last couple of clubs, and you think that you're going to get this success out of him by doing what? By giving him lesser players. I don't really understand how that works. What's the thinking there? The irony is that I think, sorry, John,
I'm going to come to you in a second, but the irony is I think that he appointed Mourinho because he thought that's the only way I can keep Harry Kane. But what's ironic about it is that he might be the person that makes Harry Kane leave. He might be the reason that Harry Kane ends up leaving the club.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, gee, just final one on Spurs. Just humour me for a second. Who's immediate future looks bleaker, Arsenal's or Spurs's? Got a call about Arsenal in there somewhere.
Oh man, that is a good one, you know.
More to the point. More to the point. Why should G care?
Who's the biggest threat to you, G, in the next 5 years? Arsenal or Spurs?
Neither. West Ham.
I still think Spurs would be a bigger threat. There's just something about the Arsenal mentality. Where I think Arsenal are happy with where they are, and they're below Tottenham. And Tottenham is a little bit of crisis. We were talking about offline. Tottenham is, at least there's a little bit of talk about disharmony and crisis. Arsenal, everyone seems to be quite content. So in that sense, I think it will still be Tottenham, but there's not a lot between them.
Well, even without Kane.
Yeah, because I think if you get 120 for Kane, I think you'll buy someone else. I don't know who, but I think you'll buy someone else. Someone.
Everyone's talking about Kane leaving this summer. They might lose Son. It could be Kane and Son, or no one's chatting about Son leaving. Son's the guy that I think they need to be. But anyway,
you know what's interesting though, Jude? I think Ol summed it up. I think for everything that Ol said, I think that's why Kane leaves, because I think the Spurs fans wouldn't be mad at him anymore. They'd like wave him off with their blessing. You tried, but we're just too shit for you. Go, bird, fly, be free. Whereas I think if he felt like, oh, he's ditched us and he's a bastard, he's a money grabbing bastard, he might like want to prove him wrong. But I think they, with the caliber of football and how well he continues to play, I think Spurs fans would not be mad. I mean, if he went Arsenal or Chelsea, then obviously there'd be an issue. But I think if he goes elsewhere, I think people will go, thanks for all the work you did, sorry we're so shit, sort of thing.
He could do a Bale or a Henry and kind of go to Spain and win some trophies and then come back to his club anyway. I want to keep on the theme of management and find out what you guys made of Brendan Rodgers and the job that he's doing generally, because it's looking like another capitulation is coming Leicester's way. It's not looking good. And the whole dropping of the, I think it was four or five players in the end, after there was a COVID breach. There was a rave at Perez's house. And they got dropped on the weekend. They lost. Where do you stand on making a stance? We discussed it with Arteta at Aubameyang a few weeks ago. Do you think he made the right decision in dropping them to talk? And he spoke about standards and all that sort of stuff. Or when you're in the mix of getting a top four spot, was this the wrong time to make that point?
Jordan, your questions are getting better and better.
I know.
Okay, so he did the right thing, but I wouldn't have done it. I would have gone to the chairman. I would have said, look, chairman, we need to get top four. Let's suppress this. Let's get them on the pitch and let's try and win. That's what I would have done.
You're soft. It's not even a hard question. He did absolutely the right thing, right? They broke the rules.
If it comes out later on, G, after the game, they broke the rules and he didn't
suppress it. Do what you need to do. Someone can suppress it.
Typical Chelsea fan, the spine is just not there.
Look, by the time it comes out, no one will care. Like, you know, we found out a couple of years later that Jose was hiding in a laundry basket in Bayern Munich. No one cares anymore. We got the win. That's the most important thing. I think they got to go for it. But personally, I think they got to play them. But I'm acknowledging it's the wrong thing to do. I admit it, but that's what I would have done.
let me tell you, right? G has no, he's got no commitment to standards. It's not like if I let it slide this time, then there's going to be an issue. He's not on that at all. G is just like, win at all costs, walk all over me if you
Chelsea.
Want to.
Look, typical Chelsea.
Look, find them 4 weeks' wages, whatever you have to do. Behind the scenes.
Shocking, G. Like, George's other question was good, but what you're saying now, I just can't believe it. I can't wait until you become a dad, G, because when you do, oh, don't worry, son, it's all right. You can still play. We can still play PlayStation together. Next minute, he's punching you in the face. You got to draw the line.
I mean, Ollie, I know what G's saying, but is it?
I don't.
I don't agree with it, but I can. His point is win at all costs. That's a Chelsea guy. Cool. But isn't the bigger issue that maybe G's missing here is that, all right, the public and the press might not find out about it, but the rest of the dressing room knows about it. And then what does that say about your management as Brendan Rodgers if you're not making a public display of a public infringement?
That is a winner. I'll let Ollie answer there.
I think it's absolutely incredible, yeah, that in our WhatsApp group, G was berating Son the other day, yeah, for what he did to here get go, that to get that goal disallowed. Yeah. I won't use the words that he actually said about Son. But he, you know, let's just say that he called him a cheat, yeah? Now he's turning around and saying that Leicester's manager should have basically forgotten the fact that his players broke COVID rules, yeah, and played them anyway.
Sorry, Ollie, hang on, Marvin. You know that Ollie's had that in his back pocket for the entire time.
He's been waiting.
Ollie has been saving that one. No. I rate it. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying.
I was not going to raise it, but then G's given me the opportunity.
You want, Ollie.
No, Jordan. It's almost like Ollie's got the rifle and G's like a clay pigeon. Ollie's just been waiting for that clay pigeon to be him. And he's gone for it. And George, let me be clear. Ollie is absolutely right.
I'm not mad at
it. I can't, like... I said what I said.
I'm standing it. I'm going for the Champions League spot. Fuck it.
G never ceases to amaze me. And I think it's the DNA of a Chelsea fan. Because even like... And G will deny it now, but even with the whole... John Terry, Anton Ferdinand. At the time, G was like, oh, we're not quite sure. We're not quite sure what happened here. Let's wait for the...
It's shocking.
It's Chelsea and winning above decency. Right? And it's crazy to me. It's crazy. But that's how it rolls. I'm not even surprised.
But this is Leicester, it's not Chelsea. But I mean, maybe it's just the COVID rules. Like I look at it and there's one country where it's completely open, another country where it's locked. MPs can do X, Y, Z, but footballers can't. I just don't see the big morality around the COVID rules personally. I'd still find them because they broke club rules.
Yeah, but fines, I mean, you think now. And I wonder if you guys think that the fact that it was multiple players made a difference. So is it because it was four or five players that you thought, I can't let it slide? But if it was Kasper Schmeichel on his own or Jamie Vardy on his own, do you guys think Brendan Rodgers would have managed that situation the same way?
Well, I think if they're on their own with just people from outside the circle, maybe it's a different conversation.
But,
right?
let's say it wasn't. Let's just say he was clearly breaching rules and he was with people he shouldn't have been with.
I just think, you know what? I agree with G, right, to an extent where I think the COVID rules are a bit suspect. But I think footballers in the public eye, it's kind of the same thing that went down with Greenwood and Phil Foden in Iceland, right? Like, you know, we always... The four of us have always debated about football's role in the wider scheme of things. And I just think if he was allowed to let a blatant violation of kind of like common law based on the circumstance we have, I think he would look like a soft touch. And actually, is there an argument that he's also putting the other players at risk by keeping them in the fold and stuff like that? There's all this dynamic that you think about. But
is it blatant if no one knows? I don't know.
Clearly, G, he knew, right? And actually, it's one of those weird things, like, despite the fact he's ex-Liverpool, I like the way Rodgers went about it, right? He said, look, it's an internal thing we're dealing with. He didn't sing like a canary and say they were playing PlayStation and raving. Like, he didn't say it. He said, look, it's an internal thing and we had to take action. And I think that's what you got to do.
You know what? You guys are totally right. I'm not saying you guys aren't right. I'm just saying what I would
kind
do.
Of are.
you guys are 150% right. Brendan Rodgers is right. But I'd try and win. I can't lie. I would try and win.
To be fair though, G, who other than Madison, I don't think Perez, and who is the other player who's involved?
Perez is a big player. Perez is a big player for them.
Oh, come on, man.
No, he's a bench man. He's a bench man.
Are you telling me, other than Maddison, there's none of those players that he could look at and say, well, you know, that's the difference between winning and losing.
Wes Morgan was involved apparently as well, but yeah, he's not a squad man. Yeah.
All right, but they've lost the game,
haven't they? You wanted to sign him for Arsenal at one point, didn't you?
Listen, Leicester City.
Let me be clear. There is some method to that madness because Maddison's been out injured for quite a bit. So actually, there's an argument that the three that he ditched might not have started or haven't been starting in the past. Personally, I think Leicester had enough on that pitch to win.
It's not about the fact that...
It's not. You're right.
It's about the message to the rest of the squad. They could be like the third goalkeeper, but it's about...
The point I'm trying to make, George, is sort of disagreeing with G that without them, they don't win. I think they could win without them, right? So G going, you got to win. They got lost because you got to take in the Jay Ling's effect here, right? We've got to pay homage to that guy now.
That's a nice segue to my next question. How much credit does David Moyes get for the form of Jesse Lingard?
None.
Wow.
What, do you want a percentage?
Ooh. Yeah, go on.
10%.
Wow.
90%. 90%. Why does he get any? Well, because he fought for him, right? He fought for him. He wanted
He's given him an opportunity, but the thing is, 10%. Lingard's probably been sitting there with smoke coming out of his ears and thinking, why am I not getting a chance at Man United? He's desperate to show that he's still someone that should be considered for the England squad for the Euros. You know, he's desperate to play. This comes back to the original point, Jordan, about players and managers. Do you know what I mean?
It's all down to Lingard. Which is the real David Moyes? This David Moyes or the Moyes we saw at Sunderland?
Oh, Sunderland. I didn't see you going that way. What, for me, David Moyes is a great middle, like a mid-team manager. So Everton and West Ham were the right levels for him. Sunderland was too low because he's not savvy enough in the market and motivating players of a low standard. And Man United was way too high, right? So I think where he's functioning now, you see the best of him. I think he was a really good manager at Everton, right? But like, I don't want anyone to tell me if he gets West Ham into the Champions League, should he be considered for a top job?
I was going to ask if he gets top four, is that manager of the year?
Well, you were banging on about Scott Parker getting manager of the year. I just don't know where your head's at.
I said it should be Pep Guardiola. But
I think the answer is yes, right? West Ham in the Champions League, none of us would have called it. I don't care what anyone says, right? So I think the answer is yes. Pep is doing what Pep does with shed loads of money. Anyone that thinks Ole should get it doesn't know football. And then who are you left with, really?
Yeah, I mean, the argument is that Moyes, it's not just the fact that he's turned the club, you know, the team around, but, I mean, that is a car crash club with the two, you know, with the two dildo brothers running the show there. And so, you know, it's kind of, for him to turn it around to the degree that he has is, you know, it's commendable. You know, there's no way of getting away from that. He's done a great job. I don't know how long it will last, but as it stands at the moment, he's turned that around. He's done a fantastic job.
Do you guys agree with the anger from the West Ham fans that when the idea is mentioned that they're doing well this season because they're not in the ground, they get really, really angry? They get really offended
but
by
it's the truth
as well. Do you think it's the truth?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And West Ham, listen, West Ham fans didn't even want David Moyes.
Yeah.
They didn't want David Moyes. They thought that David Moyes wasn't good enough. They thought after his first period there that he was like, why are they going back for Moyes? They weren't happy with him being the manager. So yeah, I don't think that in the first instance they would have been that pleased about him coming in, but he's actually proved them wrong. And you know, I think way back when I remember we had a pod and we were talking about the benefits of playing behind closed doors, I actually thought that, you know, you'll really see what these players are about. The fact that Spurs have turned out to be shit with no fans really tells you how bad their players are. But, you know, essentially West Ham are a club where, I said before, you haven't got all the extra, you know, grief that you get from fans being in the ground. You can just play your game. And West Ham have played their game and they're doing well. Fair play to them.
I mean, I remember the pod, Jude, that you did where you were really slagging off Spurs fans discreetly. Ollie and I always send it to you where you gave every shit example of a player was a Spurs player. And in that, and that's when we were ranking every team. And looking at those clips back on the Insta, what I think is great is there's a clip of Ollie going, what's the point in West Ham? They're a waste of time. Like he gave him an E. He said they're a pointless club. Like, what's the point? And now they're on the cusp of Champions League. And I think a lot of that is down to David Moyes. So yeah. Give the man some credit where it's due.
Yeah, and I hold my hands up. I admit that, you know, that's all fair play. I said all that. And, you know, West Ham's, the whole point of being for West Ham back then when I was saying that was just to beat Spurs. They don't matter. There didn't seem to be any other reason for them to be in the Premier League other than to irritate Spurs every, you know, twice a season. But now they've become a club where they're better than Spurs. They're better than a lot of other teams.
What, generally or just this season? Definitely.
Yeah, okay, this season fine. They're a better team. They're absolutely a better team.
And just a question for you, George. You talked about Son. Where does Son land? Do you think he's up for another Prem move? Like, where's he landing?
No.
Because Italy's beneath the Prem, right? You don't leave the Prem to go to Italy unless it's not working out for you.
No.
I like Ashley Young and Lukaku.
I would have taken him before, but he's below my moral compass now, so
I can see him being the plan B to Mbappe if he doesn't go to Real Madrid. I think if Madrid can't get Mbappe, I could see them having another.
Oh man, the side man, you know.
But the thing I don't know how much Mbappe is worth, but especially with the Korean sort of element that Son brings to the Spurs club, I can't see Levy giving him up for cheap, right? You're losing a good player worth some millions, plus all that revenue he's bringing you in Asia. And that's actually a good point, Jude, why he's probably going to be sought after. Because I saw that documentary and they were like, traveling from Korea to London just to get a signature, right? Like, they love themselves some Son. So, yeah, I can see it, maybe.
Just last couple quick ones, guys. I want to just briefly touch on Bielsa and Ancelotti. So, Bielsa, quickly. I think that result on the weekend, I've been a Leeds hater all season, pre-season. I was just vomiting at the loving toward Leeds' return to the Premier League. 30 years, this grand sleeping giant's like, get out of my face, man. I was just so over it. But fair play, they're going to be comfortably top half by the looks of things. And that result on the weekend against Man City, winning 2-1 with 10 men, I thought was a brilliant result. I mean, they had two shots granted and City had like 31. But how much work and can you see Bielsa being there next year? And I heard a really good question on another pod, so I can't take credit for it, about Bielsa and the Leeds players. Although they've done really well for him, has he in a way devalued those players because they're doing really well for him, but could any of those Leeds players do a good job elsewhere? Or are they so conditioned now to the Bielsa way of playing anywhere else? They're going to be, you know, second tier players. G.
I wouldn't say he's devalued them. I think it usually works the other way, actually, that it makes players look a lot better than what they are. And when they rock up at another club, they end up being average. So no, I wouldn't say he's devalued them. Sorry, could you repeat the first
question? The first bit was, do you think he'll be there next year? And what have you made of his time in the Premier League this year?
I think he will be there next year. I think he'll probably want to do it again in front of the fans. In terms of what I make of his time, it's lovely to watch at some points, but it is very disorganized. The defensive part of me, I guess most of my success has been from being a reactive team. So like, I look at them defensively sometimes and I cringe, and you get games like Man City and over the weekend where they go for it, they just keep on trying, and you're like, you kind of have to respect it. But I wonder if at some point when things go back to normal, as people keep on saying, like, will they come a cropper with that? How many Rafinhas can they continue to find? Like, is this sustainable for a club of their size? Eventually, a lot of teams play nicely and then they do okay for a couple of seasons and they end up going down. And I think that might, they're at risk of that.
But Ollie, isn't that the kind of point that those kind of players at Leeds, there's lots of those players, those kind of championshipy League One level players. But the beauty of having Bielsa is give him 18 months with them and he can make them function to be able to handle themselves in the Premier League. He doesn't have to find diamonds. He can find League One players and just condition them to being able to work as a unit in the Prem.
Well, this kind of comes back to your point earlier about Mourinho and why he can't do the same with the players he's got. He's obviously got them in a good unit, playing well. I can't really say much about the Man City game the other day because I hate football at the moment, so I don't watch much.
I've been there.
But yeah, I've kind of zoned out on quite a lot of it, so I didn't see that game on Saturday. But yeah, you know, Leeds, what's exciting about Leeds is just that thing of a team coming up from the Championship and not being afraid and being prepared to go at teams and basically be brave, you know. That's kind of rare, isn't it? Because you don't normally get that from a lot of teams who come up. They're always kind of playing a reactive game and trying to keep the score down. So, you know, Leeds have been great in that respect. But yeah, you know, the whole thing is there's a lot to be said for getting players, as you say, from the Championship and basically creating a great unit who can basically play as a team. But there's a big but there. I just think that sometimes it's a bit too, you know, it's a bit too dogmatic in the sense that there's only one way of playing. And I just think that, you know, in this game, it won't win trophies. And it, you know, and you'll lose stupidly as well. There are some games I watched the way they played against us and I was just thinking, God, that is the game that Mourinho wants all day long. I mean, why would you give Mourinho the game that he wants? The game that he wants, which is a team who's going to push up and leave loads of spaces at the back and they're going to make mistakes and you're going to capitalise on them. You must know that that is the way that a team... It would frustrate me, to be honest with you, if I was watching that. Yes, it is great to get out of the Championship. Yes, it's great that you've got a team that plays in a brave manner, but you're going to lose an awful lot of games where you think, you know what, if we'd given ourselves a chance there, we could have got a result, you know? And that would irritate me.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, you started so good with the questions, but that last question you asked G was a shocker, in my opinion. Has he devalued the players because if they're out of the system? He's made the players look good, Jude. It's really simple.
Yeah, what I'm asking is, it's a very unique system. So Stuart Dallas, I heard mentioned on another podcast, is playing really well in that system. Who's going to buy him? Because in that system,
all right. Well, if no one's going to buy him, he stays where he is and he continues to play well, Jude. Like, you can't blame Bielsa if the players leave the club and look shit.
I'm not blaming. I'm just saying. It's a blessing and a curse.
It's all blessing, Jude. They're playing well in a system that he formulated. It's really simple. Like, and Ollie's right. They've been shocking against us again. Terrible. But you can't blame. Like, sometimes I think some managers spend so much time figuring out the opposition and catering to how the opposition thinks they'll play. Obviously, it backfires because everybody knows how Leeds are going to play. But it's refreshing from my end. It's the same with Sheffield United when they came up and they were getting the centre-backs to, like, almost bomb forward as full-backs. Like, I like it when teams come in and go, this is the play we played in the Championship. We know it worked. We're going to play like it in the Prem because we play our way irrespective of opposition. Now, to Ollie's point, you're going to get packed out sometimes, right? And he made Dan James look good. And, you know, if he wants to buy Dan James, I've heard that rumour a couple of times, I will bite his hand off on that one, right? But I think he's been refreshing as far as Prem clubs come up, right? So many, the West Broms, the Norwiches of this world, they just come up and they play such shit ball and then they get relegated, then they come up again and we're sick of it. We want people to come up and try new things, give the big teams like City at home, right? The Champions Elite, a game with 10 men. Come on, whatever promoted team are you going to see that gets that result? I don't think you're going to see many.
All right, finally, I'll stick with you, Marvin. With a world-class manager like Carlo Ancelotti, have Everton blown their best chance to finish in the top three?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the chance is definitely gone, but I think Ancelotti is as much to blame as anyone else at the club, right? So, yeah, it's gone. I think a bit like we did with Spurs. I think we got carried away early doors, and eventually, you know, to the point that G and I always make it, the season is a marathon, not a sprint, right? And people like James Rodriguez, people found him out. He had some injuries. Calvin Lewis gone off the boil a bit. And, you know, I don't know, where's the guy that they signed for from Watford? What's his name again?
Decore.
Is he injured? Because I haven't seen him playing.
He's injured.
I think he was quite instrumental, right? I don't think they ever had a chance of doing it, but this season was a good chance for what we outlined before, right? The likes of Spurs, Arsenal, they're very shit right now. So there's an opportunity for people that you might not have suspected for Champions League football to get it. But I think they are where they are, Jordan. I'm annoyed at myself at getting carried away with the Carlo effect. It's more respect for him as a manager more than what he's actually got at his disposal at Everton. And let me be clear, next season, I wouldn't expect to see him anywhere near the top.
Do you agree, anyway? G? Do you think next season they're going to revert back to their type anyway, the 7th, 8th? You can't. How much do you blame Ancelotti in them not taking advantage of Liverpool's implosion, Arsenal's implosion, Spurs' implosion? I mean, West Ham are going to finish in the top four.
Is that guaranteed, Jill?
It's not guaranteed, but... They're in the conversation.
Because if they do, it's probably at G's team's expense. And remember, G said they're going to do something.
Leicester are going to bomb. Chelsea will finish in the top four.
I think West Ham will probably bomb as well. But that's a conversation for another day.
So
but
what? You think Liverpool are going to finish in the top four then?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, I've got to stick to it because I predicted it. I mean, when I say it now, they look so bad when they're playing. Like, I don't know if I believe it, but that's what I predicted. So I've got to stick with it.
I actually think both Chelsea and Liverpool finish top four. And I don't think West Ham or Leicester finish top four.
Yeah. But going back to George's question about Everton, I think they're finishing about where they're supposed to finish. Like, I don't think they're finished. And I think sometimes he might have been a little bit of a victim of his own success at the beginning of the earlier of the season. Overall, you know, if he stays there 3 years, 4 years, will he get much higher than this? Probably not. And he probably will have a season where he goes down as well.
But this is where I think he needs... Sorry to cut you there. This is where I think G needs a bit of scrutiny. Because I agree, Everton are probably around 7th, 8th, 9th in the league. That's probably where they should be. Mm-hmm. But you're bringing in a world-class manager. And the whole point of that is to say, well, 7th isn't good enough anymore. We expect like 7th minimum. That's got to be a bad year if you're bringing in Carlo Ancelotti. So doesn't he deserve a little bit of heat for the fact that he's doing what Joe Royal was doing 15 years ago?
Wow, Joe, you call him Joe Royal? Oh, wow.
Martinez and all that, man, you know what I mean?
Was Joe Royal the manager when they beat us in 95? Because if so, he's more successful. Yeah.
Dogs of War.
Yeah, Paul Rideout. By definition, he's the most successful Everton manager in recent times. Because they haven't won a cup since, have they?
They haven't. Wow. They haven't.
Joe Royal, you know. Joe Royal.
Oh, you know, I'm making the point. All the people before him, they were finishing between 7th and 14th. Know what I mean? So Ancelotti, you bring in Ancelotti again.
I think you're being harsh, Jord. Yeah, I think you're being harsh. The thing is,
I'm with Jord here, right? Like, at the end of the day, let's just do it on trophies, man. Like, trophies mean stuff. Joe Royal won Everton a trophy. Ancelotti probably second place.
I get that, but Everton, I can't remember who knocked them out of the Rumbelows, but they went through. They went to all that effort, yeah, to knock Spurs out of the FA Cup just to draw City in the next round. I mean, that's how's your luck? Seriously, that's terrible luck, yeah. You deserve, after doing that, yeah, you deserve a bye in the next round. You know what I mean? You deserve, like, you're gonna get, like, you know, a team. But you get Man City at home, it's like you might as well just think.
I hear that. But if you're Ancelotti, one of the best managers in world football, either or, if I'm an Everton fan, I'm saying either give me a cup run or you've got to finish 7th minimum. And yes, you've got to be one of them.
Yeah, but the problem is, George, Everton were looking good. When we were talking about them looking good, I think I remember, and you can go back in your pods and check this, but I'm sure I said to you back then that Everton
didn't have the depth, and they don't have the depth. No. And they've taken a bit of a, they've had a punt, just like Spurs had a punt on Gareth Bale. They've had a punt on Rodriguez. They had a punt on the other guy from Napoli, whose name I can't remember. What's his name?
Alan.
He's been out for ages. When they were looking good, he was in the centre of their midfield. He was playing really well. And that as a three, their three in midfield looked really good. Decore and Alan looked really good. But Alan's been injured for ages. And they just don't have the depth behind those players. So, you know, they're back to playing Tom Davis in midfield. And, you know, and all these other guys who weren't getting a game before are getting a run out now all of a sudden. And, you know, people like Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison have been in and out of the team. But when they lose these players, they don't have players of equal standing who can come in and fill the gaps for them. And that's a big thing for a club like Everton. They just can't keep the momentum going. And that's the problem you have when you're in that kind of, you know, that you're in that sort of part of the league that Everton are, Spurs are, and whatever. You haven't really got the funds to go out there and buy the very top players. So you maybe try and get a player on the way down, or, you know, you get a player on the cheap and hope, or sorry, a young player on the cheap that you hope you will kind of, you know, turn into a superstar. So Everton are in that position. Having said all that, Everton have got money. So, but the problem is, because of FFP, they haven't been able to spend it. Now that FFP is now looking like they're gonna kick that out, kick it to the curb, Everton might have an opportunity because there is money there. Unlike Spurs, they've got money. So, you know, in the fullness of time, we might be saying at the moment that Ancelotti hasn't really delivered, but who knows? This summer they might go out there and start spending some money, and we might see a different Everton next season.
All right, guys, we'll do Arteta, Klopp, Dean Smith, and Pep on the pod next week. We'll look at how well a job those guys are doing on the podcast next week. Listen, Ollie, Marvin, G, thanks for time today. G, what time's the Chelsea game? And are you going through?
Yeah, of course we're going through.
I mean, question is with Porto, man. Come on. Making Porto, him sound like they're doing big business.
Hey, Porto will beat you, you know.
Bruv, we would beat you. Just need them to calm down. Forget about Porto. Don't talk this greasiness, right? Werner would make Maguire look good. Let's not use people. Let's not use other teams. Gee, you and I both know when we looked at that draw, everyone wanted Porto. So don't talk crazy.
I'm surprised G is not still going, you know what, Porto a good team, you know. Last round when I was saying you've beaten who you expect to beat, he was getting all upset with it. Now it's like, oh yeah, Porto.
Atletico Madrid, the hardest draw we could have got in that week.
G, tell me what's happened to Atletico Madrid since you played them.
Yeah. Well, obviously once
in La Liga?
Once we beat them, obviously they fall off.
They were wobbling before that, right? But look, who will you get in the next round? Is it the winner of this Bayern PSG game?
No, Liverpool.
No, it's Real or Liverpool.
Oh, Real will do you. That's fine.
I'm not sure.
We'll do something. When I say we'll do something,
G's bullish, man. G is bullish.
Did you see the West Brom game, G? But, let me tell you, I'm pretty sure West Brom, up until that point, had scored like 10 goals for the whole season.
look, all the omens are there. Last 2012.
I've seen the meme you've put, G, but let's not get carried away. He's like, last time an Englishman got sacked and we drew Porto and all this bullshit. Like, unless you've got beads at prayer beads at home and light candles around your bed, G, let's just take this season on its merit and see how it plays out.
I've got it all. Don't worry.
I mean, look, I think Real will do you. I'll put a tenner on that. Real do you in the semis, the other semi will be Bayern, Barca. What? Bayern, not Barca. It'll be Bayern, PSG winners versus who?
City and Dortmund winners.
Okay, so that's the tough side of the draw, right?
Yeah.
That's the
winning side of the draw, either way.
It's not the winning side, but it's the tough side.
Jesus. You're killing me. Subscribe to the podcast. You know where we're at, all the podcast outlets, socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. Till next time. Peace.